Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. So, ladies and gentlemen, today is the second of the fourth month, 2026. It is a Thursday evening and the weekend has officially started. So when this weekend has started, it's wild out here. It's wild, it's crazy, it's amazing-ish. And also, we are just doing the most. It's lovely, you know. And Windhoek City is getting empty. But all the girls are just packing. I don't know where they're going, but all the girls are just packing. All the girls are just going. I'm like, wow. Must be nice, Vakwe. Tava enjoying getting alarm when you're Davo. Ooh, anotai. Yamo tai ko ambo, yamo tai ko mafuta. Yamo otai kenda, yamo tai ende, ende, wow. Wafuka, must be nice, Moshiri. So, ladies and gentlemen, today's one of those days where it's a Thursday, and it's lovely, and it's nice, and it's amazing. But we're like, oh, yeah, it's such a beautiful day. Isn't it this week where somebody got kissed and then that kiss kind of ruined everything? I was asking for a friend. Isn't it that week where somebody just kissed someone and then later on they were dead? Because if I can say so myself, I'm like, ay, you dasa. Kana kameme. Oyongombil yo yo apauli nenge otulinginyano tatulinginyano. What's up, what's up?
Cyber threats are no longer just an IT problem. They are a risk to our national security and the core of our economy. Join various leaders and industry stakeholders at the 3rd Namibia International Cybersecurity Conference and Exhibition, NICSC 2026, taking place from the 22nd to the 24th of April at Arabush Travelodge in Windhoek. Corporate early bird registrations close on the 31st of March. So register now at dstech.com.na. NICSC 2026. Securing Africa's digital future.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Dear listener, the following show is a playback.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, it's me again, it's me again, child. As a full on my knees today, help me, God, I pray. Hello, hello, hello. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings again. Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is the 8th of the 8th month, 2020. It is a Friday evening and the time is 24 minutes past the hour of 9. So, ladies and gentlemen, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the wonderful and magical number in the studio. Today, we're talking about your lifestyle. We're talking about lifestyle, baby. Let's talk about lifestyle. Let's talk about lifestyle. Lifestyle, lifestyle, lifestyle. You know, some people say that. No. Hugo Boss is a lifestyle. You know, Eagle FM is a lifestyle. You know, it is a lifestyle. You know, drinking cool drink is a lifestyle. Drinking water is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. So we're talking about our lifestyles. We're talking about, hey, if you don't like this kind of lifestyle that you are living in or you are living by, because we must don't know what it is first. Maybe, just maybe, we can find a way to kind of change it, or maybe make it a different way. The way in which a person lives their life. So how are you living your life? That is what a lifestyle is. It is the way that you are living your life. It is the way that you are doing the things that you are doing within your life. It is the way you carry yourself through life. It is that is what we are talking about here. We're talking about your lifestyle. We're talking about the lifestyle, babe. We're talking about the lifestyle. We're talking about you and me and you and me again. And we are just going about it. So many of us are living lives that we don't really want to be in. Maybe you do things inside your life that you don't see it, Simanje. You don't see it. You don't feel it nicely. You are just like, oh, I don't want to be the way I am. I don't want to do the things that I'm doing. I don't want to, you know, go out there and rob people. You know, that this kind of lifestyle, eh? It's not nice. It's not fantastic. And I'm just saying that maybe, just maybe, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it so that we can find a way in how to change your lifestyle. So changing your lifestyle requires a multifaceted approach of focusing on physical and mental well-being, habit formation, and consistent effort. Key steps include, right, setting clear goals. Mm-hmm. Clear goals. Okay, so what do I want to do? I want to be this kind of person. I want to do this. I want to walk with respect. I want to stop robbing people in the middle of the night. I want to stop staying mumiramba that they get it on too. Yeah, they no. Yeah. You know, I don't want that anymore. I don't want to be that kind of woman anymore. As a matriarch, I cannot just be mumiramba, and that's just my life. Kucha. Hey, after work, imagine after work I go and then I sit mumiramba. Bro, it's not like that. It's not nandy like that. It's not nice. It's not attractive. Imagine guy ne no rutu neta kokana kameme non sika pe hempo no. Then dung. Give me your handbag. I'll shoot you. Give me your handbag. Because I also have two guns, like, you know, the other lady. Two guns. Luckily, mine are in my possession. Hers, she had to, you know, give them over to the other side because how? Apparently. So, the first thing that we have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is set clear goals. And clear goals are basically writing down on paper what exactly it is you're looking for through this change of lifestyle. What you are expecting and how you expect it to go and what you get out of it. So it's those clear goals. Like, I want to get peace and I want to get, sustainability, and I want to gain respect, and I want to gain adoration from my family. I want to be known as a person that is helpful, not destructive. I want to be known as a person that is like this and not like that. I want to be known as a person that is not all over the place, but is calm and collected. I want to be the type of person that is chilled. I want my family to look at me and say that we can depend on that auntie. We can depend on my matriarch. Now, if I'm the person that is stealing their things, how can they depend on the matriarch? Eh? How can they not lock their rooms? Like, that's not great. That is not amazing. That is not benevolent. That is not beloved. That is not what we want. Eh? We want better. And we want better for you. We want better for me. We want better for everybody. And the way to get to that, right, it is honestly by maybe changing our lifestyles. Maybe becoming something better. Maybe. Maybe, just maybe.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Simon, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right. Hi, you guys. How are you guys doing? Hi, guys. My daughter is I don't know if she's a diva. But she's so in the mix. I think she's having this cell phone life. So it's not my phone. It's not the dad's phone. It is Auntie Cassie's phone. So with Auntie Cassie, they're always on the phone. They are watching TikToks. They are they are making videos. So she's on that. Every time you lift up the phone and then you show it to her, she's like, "Hey guys." So it's like, "Hi guys. Welcome to my YouTube channel," kind of vibes. And she's also dancing the songs, my dear. She's dancing the songs. She's doing the things and it's crazy in love out here. So we're talking about changing our lifestyles. We're talking about maybe just manifesting a different kind of lifestyle from the lifestyle that we are in right now. It could be that it's not what you want at all. Like everything that you're doing inside your spirit, it is not giving that this is where you're supposed to be. This is what you want. Or it could be that there are a few things about your lifestyle that you would like to change. And what I figured on my quest to finding our conversation is that there are steps to design the life you want. So basically, this is how to change your lifestyle. By designing the life that you want and motivating yourself to change your behavior in order to become the person that is supposed to be living in that life. Because you can't say that I want to manifest myself to get $2 million and live in a mansion and have all these things, and it must be spotless clean, when you are incapable of even taking a bath, when you are incapable of taking care of omahinja, where you are incapable of just grooming yourself, you understand? And there are also certain things that if you drive, for example, if you are driving your Demio out there and you would like to be clean, Mos. You would like to be clean. You would like to be neat because your car is clean and your car is neat. And it was, Mos, not something that you were given for free. So you have to now change your behavior to be a person that is befitting to the life that you want. So this in itself is redesigning our lives, and this is something that can be done even when you are 50, even when you are 60, even when you are 70, or even when you are 20 and you don't necessarily fancy where life is at right now. So that is setting clear goals. You have to acknowledge and accept and see that there is something that is amiss from your own perspective, because this is your life, right? And we can't tell you that this is not correct and this is not correct, especially if you are happy within the life that you are living and the lifestyle that you carry. If you are happy in that, we can't come and dictate for you in your house how things should be done. No, that is not our job and that is not how we roll. But if you see it for yourself and you want to change it, then you start with setting clear goals. And then secondly, you need to adapt to healthy habits. So what are the healthy habits of the lifestyle that you would like? They must be healthy. So if you, for example, you want to become a fitness instructor, right? You want to be a fitness instructor and you want to be training people and you want to live a healthy life, right? Then would it make sense for you to be chucking down Kentucky every single day? To be chucking down junk food, ice cream, school drink, it's lekker. Let's just...
Every journey starts with a heartbeat. And for your car... That heartbeat is every part working perfectly together. At Motovac, we don't just sell parts. We keep your car alive. From brakes to batteries, filters to fluids, we power every drive, every trip, every moment. Motovac, the heartbeat behind your journey.
Care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You'll learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Cream, school drink, it's lekker. Let's just assume that you are a baller and then your pockets can accommodate that. Let's just assume that that is the situation here. Would you be living a lifestyle, a healthy lifestyle? Would you be having healthy habits? Is that a healthy habit? Because binge eating is not a healthy habit. And this is not something that we can say, a personal trainer would live by. Imagine you are calling people to the sports field and you're telling them, okay guys, we're going to do a few laps around the tennis court and we're going to do a few laps around the soccer field. And come on guys, let's do this. Come on guys, let's do this. And then it's all fun and games, right? And then you send maybe one of the ladies or one of your instructees to go and collect something from the car. And they go and collect something from the car. They go and open your car. And the first thing that they see there is a hamburger. Not even one, not even two, not even three, but four of them. Two are untouched and two are already finished. Eh? And then also all around is just chocolate, papers and cold drink, because Kantiwa are just eating junk food. And you are telling them that a healthy body is equals to a healthy mind and healthy what. How are we going to be able to listen to you when you are not even capable of listening to your own advice and listening to your own instructions and listening to your own, you are not living out the lifestyle. You understand? So it is a matter of adapting to healthy habits, like things that are constructive and not destructive. For example, if you decide that I want to be a trainer. I want to be a trainer, and this is what I am really going to be doing, and this is how I'm going to go about it, and hola kanjani. So you decide that, this is what I'm going to be doing. Now, the problem is that there's this unhealthy habit that you're having. For example, your unhealthy habit is really just cocaine. Yeah? You do cocaine. Or even worse, you do Mandrax, or you do, everything is worse, but that's what you do. Is that a healthy habit? That's not a healthy habit because of the person that you're trying to be and the lifestyle that you're trying to carry out, right? Does not accommodate that habit. It does not accommodate that habit because of what comes with the habit. So what comes with the habit is that one, you are intoxicated by narcotics. One, you are intoxicated by narcotics. Two, you are most probably, and this is something that a lot of people don't understand, especially from the beginning of using drugs, right? People don't understand that eventually it gets to your pocket. Eventually it gets to your pocket. There was a wealthy man out here, a big man, and he had a Porsche, and he had a house in Auckland Park, and he had multiple jackpots, and he was like literally a multi-millionaire. And if you see him today, I kid you not, if you see him today, he lives in the location that's after Okahandja Park. Nah? He lives in that location that's after Okahandja Park in a room. Or in a ghetto where in a home where he's basically staying there rent free, or he's being accommodated. Now just look at a lifestyle where you could afford like a Porsche and then another car. He had like four cars. He was a big guy. Like he was sang about in songs back in my day. You know, when we are talking about people with Shimariwa, the money, the dinero, right? He was part of the list of the people that have money. But when you see him today, my friend, you would think that it's not him. It can't be. Like life cannot be like this. But it is, it's him, it is his life, and that is where he's at. So it all starts like fun and games until you have absolutely nothing. And believe me when I tell you that addictions take everything from you. You have no idea. It becomes not even nice anymore. It just becomes a thing that you do because you can't stop. Now you end up selling your shoes. You start with small things. You first start with money. Addiction works like this. You first start with money. You don't just start selling. You first start with money until the money is depleted. When the money is depleted, then you start moving towards your assets. And then in those assets, right, they deplete also. And by assets, I'm talking about assets like internal assets. You don't go straight to the car. You don't go straight to the house, right? You start with internal assets such as a TV. And I know if you live anywhere in Windhoek, right? Not unless you've been very shielded like some of us, but if you live in a place where you see life for what it is, I can guarantee you that in the middle of the night when you are sitting outside smoking your cigarette, listening to Eagle FM, right? You will see a guy passing your house carrying a TV. Now, where do you think he got it from? You will see a guy driving to the crack house, and he's pulling out the whole TV, or he's pulling out the whole refrigerator. How? A whole fridge in the middle of the night. Like, who sells fridges in the middle of the night? Not unless they are getting something for it. And that is what happens. So That is an unhealthy habit. That is a bad habit, right? And imagine now if your goal is to live the life of a fitness trainer, that's the lifestyle that you want to live. Do you think that drug addiction would also fit in that kind of role? Because then we as your clients that are paying you, we are basically going to be fueling your addiction. Now what happens with people on narcotics or people with a bad habit or an addiction that just got out of control and they are powerless over it? What happens is that they start to extort and exploit those around them. So you guys are being trained by this guy, right? You guys are being trained by this guy, and you guys have already paid now your 1,000 subscription for the month for this guy to be training you guys. And then in the middle of the month, this person says like, no, we are increasing the price and you guys must add $100 on top of it, and then all of you guys are being asked to add $100 and you guys are maybe 10, and then you guys all add $100, and then all of a sudden month end again, not even month end, in the middle of the month again, he wants a $20, he wants a $5, he wants a what? It ends like that, trust me.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian, passionately feeding the nation.
Namib Mills, feeding the nation.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, for those that have just joined us. We are here, Kulen Kalam Susa Pasalam on Hang Net, on Chill Net, on Snet Hiso. So we're talking about healthy lifestyles. We're talking about a nice lifestyle. We're talking about the lifestyles in general. Lifestyle! So we're talking about the lifestyle. So we're talking about the people that want to maybe become a fitness person. I don't know, a fitness trainer person that wants to do the most, you know, and wants to live that kind of lifestyle, like wants to be a healthy guy, wants to have goals, wants to be all about the fitness and, you know, that finesse that comes with it. Yeah, they want to be part of the fitness, they want to be part of this, they want to do that. But if you are not doing number two, which is adopting healthy habits, right, then the likelihood of your unhealthy habits that you do have leaping into your life that you are trying to create right now is extremely high. So that's why we're saying that, for example, if that's the route that you want to take, then it would most not make sense for you to create or to have this unhealthy, very, very unhealthy lifestyle, or addiction. For example, addiction of this nature, it contradicts itself in so many ways. So we have to, one, create clear goals, create goals that are straight to the point, create them as clear as day, know exactly what it is that you are aiming for. Many of us are walking in this life and we have no idea where we are going. You don't know if they are stagnant or they are flourishing. We don't know, because many of us are just roaming around in this world and we are just doing whatever the wind says we must do, and it's as if we don't have roots. So the first thing that we must do is set the goals that we want. They must be clear. They must be direct. They must be spot on. We must allow ourselves to be spot on and accountable with ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. Then number two is adapting to very good habits, healthy habits. And part of these healthy habits, right, are things that you are now going to become accustomed to, set routines for, and they are going to be beneficial to the life that you would like to live, right? So that's why we call them healthy habits. You learn new habits, like you have the habit of reading, because you want to enhance your vocabulary, or you have a new habit of working out because you want to enhance your body, or you want to create the habit of sleeping early because you want to get your 8 hours sleep because you want to be a functioning person, or you want to create the habit of checking in to with your mental health, and you can create that. You create everything in this world is up for grabs, every single thing, except people, because we can't just grab people. But you know, if we grab people, it's kind of assault. So don't grab people, but everything in the world that is not a human being is up for grabs. And it is just up to us as individuals to put in the work, to do the things that we need to do in order for us to flourish. So that is adopting two healthy habits. So the next one is managing stress. How many of us can manage stress? I don't know, man. I'm so bad. I think that I'm brilliant at handling stress and anxiety and all of this. I think I'm brilliant, but I can tell you that my body and my mind says otherwise. My body says, no, we can't handle stress. And my mind says, no, we can't handle stress. And then me, that's not part of my body and my mind, I'm like, but we can do this, man. Let's just try. So sometimes, right, it's better to go to the doctor and tell them that you're going through things and you are really not coping. You are tired. You are frustrated. You are drained. You are moody. You are not sleeping. You are anxious, terrified, scared, whatever emotion that you are feeling. And that is why there is modern medicine and there is ancient medicine. There is always something that can assist you, ladies and gentlemen. Like me, I've got like a little stress pill now. Now I just live my life in happiness and oblivion. I'm just out here like living my best life, killing me slowly with this song, telling my whole life with this word, killing me softly with this song. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. So I'm not managing stress properly, and I've got assistance to help me manage stress. And I can tell you that I am in such a better place, guys. I'm in such a wonderful place. I'm in such a good place. It's just dandelions and roses here. I even feel like I really don't have a grip on this thing, because now the stress is just rolling off. Like I'm an oily body and the stress is just rolling off, and I'm like, I'm not really used to this life of no stress. But I am in a better place and I'm happier. And I'm grateful for that. So don't let me be the only one that is enjoying in this world. If you really can't manage it, if you really can't do anything much about it, my dear, see a healthcare professional, because they went to school to come and help us with our minds and our bodies, my dear. Their jobs are not, no, guys. And last but not least, track your progress. Track your progress. Give yourself your flowers. My dear, if you did 20 walks to this week, then give yourself the credit for it. Track your progress. Track it, track it, track it. So if you are, with our first example, if you are a fitness person, a fitness trainer person, so part of your goals would be like, okay, so this week I managed to influence at least 2 people to work on their general well-being, and we are starting with low cardio exercises, where we're not trying to tone up, we're not trying to lose weight, we're just trying to get our blood pumping, we're just trying to get our heart pumping sufficient blood to all the elements of the body, and that is what we're going for. So if we are going for that, and you see now, which are okay, so me and my 2 members are doing this, and we are already, I can see that there is an improvement in terms of the sweating. Beatrice doesn't sweat as much anymore, and I don't sweat as much anymore, and France is still sweating, but it's okay. I can see there's a little bit of change in terms of the happiness and the mood and the what. And you must track your progress. You must stick down where you have achieved something, where you have progressed. It doesn't have to be the finish line. It could be steps to getting there. So you can say that you are at the starting line and then you have taken two steps. Give yourself credit for those two steps that you have taken. Okay. So that's what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight we're talking about changing our lifestyles. Tonight we're talking about walking in alignment with our lifestyles, simply because, I mean, come on. Are we not supposed to be designing our own lives? Are we not supposed to be redesigning, rebuilding, rebranding the lives that we are having at our disposal so that we can be better to some degree, we can smile a little bit more, we can laugh a little bit more, and we can definitely do a little bit more better? So, identify your motivation. So we're going to start with, here is how we're going to put it down in layers. First, Angela, am I? So we're going to start with the first one. Okay. So identify your motivation for change. Why do you want to change? Why do you want to change? What is it that's making you change? What is it that is making you want to change? Because we can't do anything that we don't want. And, if you are a person that doesn't want something, but you know it's good for you and you're willing to try it, then just do it anyways. Good evening. Hello, hello. Hi. Eagle FM, hello. Hello. Is it me you're looking for? I can see it in your eyes. I can see your smile. All I ever wanted. We've got a ghost on the line. Okay, so that was our anonymous caller that calls in now and then to hear my voice and just to breathe on the other side of the phone. You know, just... You know? They just want to breathe. They can't really talk to me because, you know, I'm famous. I'm a celebrity. I'm an influencer. So, every time they come, they're like, heart attacks upon heart attacks. And then, yeah. But, okay. So that was them. I hope they got their dose of matriarch today. So we are trying to identify or define why we want to do it, right? So we have to identify what motivates us, our motivation and our wanting to change. So what is it? Is it because you're tired of being the way you are? Because that's motivation. And is it because this thing that you are in right now is going to kill you? That's motivation. Is it because it's ungodly? That's motivation. Is it because it goes against your principles and your personal ethics? That's motivation. Every single thing does have motivation, even if you don't want to see it. So sometimes you can look at the advantages. The advantages of it is motivation. It's motivation. So if you're telling yourself, I'm going to stop drinking, and you're like, oh, but I'm finding it so hard. Whoa. Now I'm just here at home listening to Matriarch, and people are just drinking their beer outside there. And I'm like, whoa. Ah, my goodness. So let's just go with, I know you're not motivated and I know you don't want to do this. And I know you haven't, like, it's too much, man. It is too much. I get it. I fully get it. But let's go with what you stand to gain. What you stand to gain is a life of sobriety. What you stand to gain is a life where you can think straight. What you stand to gain is saving up a little bit of money. And I say a little bit of money, right? Because the one thing that I do also notice, right, is that it's not all of us that would stop a bad habit that was consuming a lot of finances and just become millionaires because we stopped. Do you know how many people say things like, you know, if you stop smoking, you could have bought a Ferrari by now. Now, that one, that really cranks my boat, you know, that really riles me up, because if somebody is smoking and you are trying to motivate them to stop smoking, then you tell them that the money that they use on a packet of cigarettes, right? If you counted it for the past 10 years, it could have bought you a Ferrari, or 12 years, it could have bought you a Ferrari, right? My question is always, okay, so you're telling this guy that he should stop smoking so that he can save up his money so that he can buy a Ferrari. But yet again, you don't smoke and yet you don't have a Ferrari. So what's your problem? Because we are very quick to throw out advice, especially advice that nobody asked us. Yeah, we're just out there dishing it. Like, yeah, you must stop smoking. Yeah, you must stop drinking. Hey, you must stop doing drugs. Hey, you must stop liking prostitutes. Hey, you must stop being a prostitute. You must stop. You must stop. You must stop. You must stop. You must stop gambling. You must stop. We are very fast at throwing that out. We are very fast at dishing judgment onto others and pretending that it's not judgment. It is judgment straight up. Come on. But yet, we have our own vices. Somebody, you might not do any of these things, but you know what you do? You sit in front of the TV for 10 hours watching TV because you're addicted to television, and you think that that's not an addiction? Simply because of what? Simply because you're not spending money right now? Oh, okay. Fine, but what has sitting for 10 hours watching TV done to your eyes, done to your back? What has it done to you that the addiction of cigarettes, ne, has not done to that other person that we are trying to judge right now? And also, since you don't smoke, where is your Ferrari, my friend? Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is a live read of the University of Namibia. The Faculty of Commerce, Management and Law of the University of Namibia is pleased to present the hybrid face-to-face online annual international conference on sustainable and equitable financial system, SEFS, to take place on the 21st to the 22nd of October 2025 in Windhoek, Namibia. Authors, young researchers, academians, and practitioners are invited to submit their abstracts. The submission of abstracts deadline is the 3rd of September 2025. For more information, visit the University of Namibia's website at www.unam.edu.na/. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts or previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Alrighty, good evening to you. If you have just joined us, this is Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is the 8th of the 8th month, 2025. It is a Friday evening and the time is 1 minute past the hour of 10. So we're talking about changing our lifestyles. So first of all, we have to ask the why? What are your reasons for wanting a different lifestyle? Is this, this will serve as your driving force. So your reason, why do you want to change your lifestyle? Why do you want to enhance your lifestyle? Why do you want to magnify your lifestyle? Why do you want to dim down your lifestyle? What is it? Why? Why do you want to do it? Okay. Why do you want to do psychology? Okay. Why do you want to do law? Okay. Why do you want to study this? Why do you want to study that? The question why must, there must be an answer somewhere. So, and the second one under subsection one, consider both external, wanting to look good for an event, and internal motivation, wanting to feel healthier and more energetic. So you have to think about the external and the internal when it comes to changing your lifestyle. So are you thinking about looking good and feeling good? Okay, so looking good and feeling good in terms of feeling good about the way you look, right? That is external. And then internal would be feeling healthy, feeling fit, feeling wonderful. Hello, how are you?
What's happening?
Baby. Multitask. Oh, you cannot stay here at radio and then not learn how to multitask. I miss you. Relentlessly, and then you don't leave a text so that the person can get back to you. No, dear. Hey.
Oh, don't worry.
We must change our lifestyles.
Don't worry.
From one side to another. I think it's only my house that has that. You know, I went into the shop ne, and I was supposed to buy the kids' beds.
Yeah.
The small bed for the children, ne?
Yeah.
It was more expensive than the big queen bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said, kucha guys, shimana shimonika asha for kamba. Now it looks like one long mattress. No. Irara, Nkero, Irara. There's no kapunara, kapunaro mapiaga. No, kuri, just come.
Yeah,
kapunaro mapiaga. No, kuri, Nkero, pirwa, no hopu, besa, no ho. It's no problem. It's okay. Best friend, like, horom, posi, no ho, he's fine.
Yeah. No, call you, my love. What are you talking about tonight?
We're talking about lifestyle. Eh? Changing our lifestyle.
Changing our lifestyle.
So what do we want to do? How do we want to go about it? And we started with our identifiers. So first of all, changing your lifestyle is changing your habits and changing from being what you are. Because first of all, in order for you to want to change your lifestyle, you would have seen something that you don't like. It doesn't have to be a major thing, which are, oh, ndario mbuzi pefe, I want to be born again. It doesn't have to be that deep. Sometimes it could just be.
Goeie nuus, Imba het nou nog beter geword. Ons het splinternuwe funksies bygevoeg om jou ervaring vinniger, beter en kragtiger te maak as ooit tevore. Is jy gereed om die volle potensiaal van Imba te geniet? Kry alle eksklusiewe funksies vir slegs $36 per maand of spaar selfs meer met ons spesiale intekenplanne. 5% afslag vir 'n 3 maande intekening, 10% afslag vir 'n 6 maande intekening en 25% afslag vir 'n 12 maande intekening. Kies die beste plan vir jou werk en geniet al die voordele wat Imba bied teen 'n onverbeterlike prys. Imba, waar die wêreld saamkom, laai dit af en teken vandag aan.
Have to be that deep. Sometimes it could just be, kucha, I want to be more calm and I want to be more reliable, or I want to be consistent, or I want to have work ethic, or small little things like that. So the first thing that we identified is ask ourselves the question of why. Why do we want to change our lifestyle? Okay, I want to change my lifestyle because I don't want to be seen as a criminal anymore. I know I'm a criminal, but I just don't want to be seen as a criminal anymore. And I don't want to do criminal activities anymore because it also brings me shame. Uh-huh. So we talk about her. Okay, so we identified that this thing is not nice. It's not nice here.
Now, I'm going to identify my thing that I want to change.
Yes, please, by all means.
I've been having a tendency of, mind you how I've been going on about, was it last year when I used to, you know, like call in your shows every now and then complaining about the fights that I had with my relatives and whatnot?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then I think we had a conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then one said to me that sometimes as much as you took it as that. But how could they? I was so angry. And they were like, but also maybe the way you also clapped back, maybe you were just too angry. I mean, you just got fired on Twitter.
Yeah, then, you were going through a lot.
And then comes now this person. So maybe your clap back was also being not. But at the time, I felt like, they are just the wrong ones and whatnot. I've been having a tendency of handy puka, you know?
Yeah.
I'm always right and whatnot.
But that one, Nduva, that one, before you run with that thought, ne? Let me tell you exactly what it is. Keshikucha iyo puka. Right? I think the issue is that, you don't see the situation in the other person's eyes where they could have probably misread your signal. So it's not that iopuka. It is that you don't understand when others misread you. Yeah, because I can't say that, kukara kukari or puka, there are times, even you in your spirit, you know, kucha, I'm gonna keep fighting with this person, even if I know that they are right. you know the reason that I don't like arguing with, I don't like doing anything wrong to best friend. You know why? He's a bad winner. Do you know what a bad winner is?
Yeah.
Okay, do you know what a bad loser is? A bad loser is someone tandanu karata, and then yota adengwa, nde oge maikina ikana gurep. Yeah. That's a bad loser, right?
Yeah.
A person that wants to end everything because they didn't get their way.
Exactly.
Okay, so now a bad winner is somebody that keeps rubbing it in.
No.
Hey, that you are wrong, you are wrong, you are wrong, you are wrong, you are wrong. 2 days. Hey, and then also, it's not just talking, it's even their demeanor. So even when you apologize to them, they want to still go and watch TV like Ta Monwi Huna, and they want to continue like Ta Monwi Huna, like that. And that is why, right? I find it very difficult, and I addressed it with him. I find it very difficult to apologize to him even when I am wrong, because he is a bad winner. He's not a person that accepts an apology or accepts that you acknowledge that you were wrong here and you are asking for forgiveness. He's not like that. He wants, the whole time, when you ask for forgiveness, he will say, okay, and then he will start talking about it.
About it.
But the whole time he was not saying anything. So he had nothing to say. He had absolutely nothing to say. But all of a sudden when you apologize, now he has like an upper hand. Kucha, yeah, even this Vaseline that you put here, this,
The type of person, if you apologize, let's move on. Let's not move on. Why are you bringing up things that happened and whatnot? Are you the type of person that I apologize?
No. I for me, I'm a four-strike kind of person. I live by that concept because I believe in chances, right? I believe that I will allow you to push your luck until I reach four. So if you want to talk about your emotions, about how I made you feel, let's talk about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about it, and then I apologize about it. And then you don't let it go, right? Then after 2 hours, you start it again. Mm-hmm. And then I'll allow you, because pamoto fururuka, you understand. And then tomorrow, you start it again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day after that, or wadhitikol nungu, because you are angry about that thing of Thursday, and then today is Monday, and then you still want to throw that tantrum, then I will come for you.
Yeah.
I believe in four strikes. Like, I believe that you must do something to me four times. before I lash out. But when I'm coming for you, ne, I'm also coming for you. That's the problem. Like on that film, like what they, you know, when you're driving on the road, ne, and it's like a lion. Like, yeah. Like, nashita musneane, ngotohe da kokashona. I'm like that.
Yes.
And then andirihana guraponana aleph.
You'll make sure.
I will make sure, my dear. I will leave you more broken than you have ever been.
But I think, yeah, man. I think because also it's something, back to now the last or yeah, something that changed, mm-hmm, eh? Reason I think is because my mom talks about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You.
Mm-hmm.
You are never wrong.
Mm.
You know, but she's the only person that really complains about it, though, and that's why, you know, sometimes I sit down and reflect on a lot of things. And now I'm looking at all the things that I've done, eh?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the type of person haningireko na you when I know I'm wrong and I just want to fight with the person.
Yeah, yeah, lengwa ngaonga, eti kurombo ya kucha, oh, it's blue. Oi!
You know, joking manner with a friend, yeah. I know I can do it with Elizabeth. I know, yeah, I'm wrong, eh? But I just want to push Elizabeth and just do it deliberately. But there are just some situations, in most situations, especially the ones that now my mom is talking about that I'm never wrong and whatnot. Now, looking at these things, I'm just like, but how could they do that also? But I mean, the fact keeps saying it that I'm never wrong. Maybe it's something that also does me. Sometimes, eh? Sometimes I just watch and just shut up.
Mm.
Because the person that was always ready to clap back is everything. How could you? You know, I was.
But you have to look at your personality. You have to. There are so many things that are involved in how we are and how we fight. There's so much that is involved. One, you are the only girl.
Mm-hmm.
In your living situation, you are the only girl.
Mm-hmm.
And you are not also the only girl amongst boys that want to cradle you, you know? And kucha ni o esenyo kana, nenge ay okankero na kenge hi. They are not cradling you.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have unkerombu ya wandora kucha, I know, tatu sumini mariwa, tu ningirenduva. They are not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally like your parents have 5 boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that means, ne, you have to fight. Then you look at your structure, and then you look at your height. Then you see this, like, your structure and your height, you are a petite lady. Ne? Mm-hmm. You are a petite lady in a world where most girls your age are not petite and small like you are. They don't have a small frame like you are. And one way or another within the world, right? Somebody must have said something to cause a little bit of an insecurity of some sort. It happens to the fat girls, it happens to the thin girls, it happens to the dark girls, it happens to the short girls, it happens to the tall girls, it happens to the light girls, it happens to everyone. And it sticks. Even if we never say it out loud, kucha, I'm a little insecure that I'm small and I'm also short, you know, it's a little, it's not something that you think about every day, like, oh, you wake up and you're like, oh, ngandondoka and I'm matriarch. No, it's not something that pops up, right? But it is something that sets like a little aggravation, especially now if you are amongst people that are taller than you and bigger than you.
Uh-huh.
And they and you, even if you wanted to beat up each other, you know you would lose. Yeah. So what do you create out of that? You create a bigger personality. Yeah. You create create a bigger personality. So that it's a defense mechanism. Like, that's how you protect yourself, because you don't have physical strength to protect yourself. So you protect yourself with your mouth. How?
I think so, but it's true.
Yeah.
If that's the case, me, mm-hmm. when I feel like maybe I really don't know you 100%, me, but I feel like I know your personality also.
Yeah.
And when you are a thick, tall hand.
Mm-hmm.
But why that mouth?
My mouth, sir. I came from an abusive childhood, and I was quiet. I don't remember talking ever. Like, I don't remember talking. Maybe in class, maybe, but I don't remember myself. One day we were talking with Watwat, and I don't remember that. And then I grew, and I found my voice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm naturally funny. You shouldn't be concerned about the mouth. You should be concerned about the sarcasm. The sarcasm came from a place of not being validated and not being treated like you are beautiful, you are enough, you know? So that the era I come from, ne? There was no black is beautiful. Black was ugly.
It was not black and lovely.
No, there's no such thing. How? That's not such thing. If you are dark, you are ugly. If you are tall, you are ugly. If you are thick, you are ugly. How? Karaneuna or meme weke shikupanda. My God. Oh my God. I had to learn everything by myself. Like, I don't remember my mother ever doing my hair ever in my life. My God. Yeah?
It must have been so hard for
Yes.
You.
Yes. Oh. And then on top of that, I am black. So there is that hint of racism, and then there's that hint of colorism amongst the black community. And then also the nicknames that come to darkened complexion girls are not as cute as you people's ones. Guys, let's address the elephant in the room, shall we? How? Eh? You are called Chirumbu. Eh? You and your family are called Chirumbu Chanjetu. Eh? Me? Like, I don't know, there's nothing. There comes nighttime. Ojano adimiko. Ojano adimiko. Bro. It was rough. Eh? That's what I was saying. If I knew that black was beautiful back in the day, I would have told those people nonsense. How? Kanju kone, yay! Oh! Thank goodness the natural girl element, the natural girl, what is it? The natural girl flex, ne? Happened so that us natural girls, ne? Could also get a chance to be beautiful, please. Eh? Because, whoa, we are coming from a time when Michelle McLean was the embodiment of what beauty should look like. Eh? The whole Afrikaans hand. Guys. How do you measure with that one? When teamwene tuna herero my dear. Eh? Eta kokali na bad like ndaningiro diet takana kanjo shilia eh. Eta kwita likukuka man. Hmm? I can get thin, you know? I can get thin to a point where you can see my collarbones like deeply, no shipara sha sinking, and you can even see my ribs, ne? And I've gotten that thin. Maretako paalili. Oh. Iyalikukuka ndi. Ay. Come hello, hi, water. We are within. The hereros, they will not leave me. Eh? Otenangar, and there, if you see me up close like this, you'll be like, oh, that girl's so thin. When I turn around, bro, the back. The back. Bro. So I come from that. And they had to come a time where I needed to find camaraderie with my peers. And since I'm most now not beautiful and I'm not the embodiment of the beauty standards, right? I must be funny. And then I crafted my skill, girl. And then here I am because of that comedian life. Yeah. Working at Eagle FM. Hey! It pays off, my dear. I'm not here for my looks.
Yeah. It makes sense. And yeah. I hear you. But also now, apart from, I hear you where you're coming from, and and the fact that you said that, that maybe that can only be a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
I totally get you. Mm-hmm. The reason I, the personality, his personality is really coming from someone.
Mm-hmm. But also, short people have short people syndrome. No, it's really a thing. It's just that discomfort, right, of being overlooked.
The short ones are.
Yeah. It's just that thing of being overlooked, ne? Like, it's not nice. Like, kuetenje ne, nengonginyan. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, oh, okay, oh, you guys are three. Like, yeah, we are three. What did you say? It's true. Then later on, like, but look at it. You were the smallest in your class. You were always sitting in the front row of every single picture.
Yeah.
Even when you didn't want to.
Yeah.
Even when you, the worst part is that even on days, ne, where the parents forgot to do the hair.
Yeah.
And they forgot, you forgot that there's pictures, and then the pictures came after break.
Mm-hmm.
They still took the picture. And we all know after break it's game down. It's true.
I get where the personality is coming from.
So you must have a big something, girl. So you must have a big what? Big mouth. You have to fit in somewhere, my dear.
Elizabeth, where I stay, ne?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows me.
Exactly.
Like I have a mouth.
Exactly.
You can't feel hate to me. I'll turn around and be like I just go like, sometimes I get scared of myself because things I say to others or people that are older than me.
Yeah.
I feel like when you say something as much as
you have to be loud somewhere. You have to be big somewhere. Yes, your body, your physique is small. So you have to pick, you guys, we have to fight somewhere. With, like, in our lives, we have to fight with something. Each and every one of us are fighting with something. The thing about me, right? Is that you would never get into a physical fight with me ever in your life. No.
Hmm.
I talk logic. Yeah. I'll make you feel embarrassed for wanting to fight with a person that doesn't want to fight for you, with you. But truly I'm scared.
Yeah.
And I'm not insulting you to aggravate you. No. I'll just say, no, if you choose to be the person that you are, then you can go ahead and do what you want to do. But as for me, I will not let or allow myself to stoop so low to be in the midst of people and I am having an argument or an interaction with you while you are going as loud as you are. Now, if you want to have a conversation, we can sit down and we can talk like women. If you don't want to have a conversation, then you can try your luck with whatever aggression you're trying to bring at me, but I am not participating. Now, have a good day. Yeah, like how do you fight with that?
Exactly.
Hello? How? Hey, you! Like, how do you fight with that? the tone, the voice, the strictness, like this, how?
But one thing that I also want to change, yeah,
mm-hmm.
is I think I'm developing, I'm coming from, I came from a house, I feel like, I've dealt with so many, I don't want to say stupid people, yeah, but I've dealt with so many people that don't use logic.
Mm.
You know, coming from home, people, like,
I can't hear you. I think you moved a little.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I came from a place where I've dealt with people that really don't use logic as much.
Mm-hmm.
And with whoever I'm dealing with in my life, né? Like it makes, like, it pisses me off because, and I feel like I'm also being selfish and really not allowing people to be human, though. I don't know.
Mm.
But I'm like, how could you think like, or how could you do something like that and reason like that?
Mm.
And I get so mad, and I feel like it's something that I really need to, sometimes I really just need to allow people to, you know, and respect people's opinions and whatnot. Imagine God's life, how could, it makes me so angry. But I feel like sometimes I just need to calm down.
I think you need to lower your expectations.
Exactly.
Like, stop expecting people to be smart. Stop expecting people to be logical. Stop expecting common sense. Stop expecting things from others. Because you can't control others. Yeah, but you can't control that. It's not your mind. Go have common sense by yourself. Go have common sense by yourself. Me, I don't want. I don't want to rongisa omangwe no hanshi. No. Yes. But Nduva, quickly hold the line.
Okay.
All right.
Stock up for August with real value at WB. Get a 2-liter Pepsi now for a sweet $14.99. 750ml WB cooking oil for only $26.99. 1 kg Sunlight hand wash powder for just $36.99. And 50 High Baby active diapers at only $124.99. See all our real value deals at www.vurmanbrock.com. We care.
So, hello, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you guys doing? Welcome to Pulling Hard Strings. Hey, Totingini. Hello. Yes. Osho Tuldi. Doesn't matter, girl. It's not your life. It's not your mind, girl. What your problem is? Don't you have your own life? You can just not talk to me also. Yeah, but as long as we live here in this house, you have to deal with me just like I'm dealing with you.
Oh my God.
Yeah, bruh.
Oh my God. Oh, and you know the reason.
But maybe you should check your anger. Why are you angry?
Yeah.
Why do you get angry?
Because I'm just like.
Because you want to control people.
Yeah, I just feel like they are too stupid.
Yeah. But like, then who's more stupid than the other? The one that is trying to control others or...
Why are you allowing me to control you? Why can't
you... You are the one that wants... My dear, you, Wena, you are the one that is messed up because me, I'm not doing what you want. Now every day you are angry and shouting at me.
What about doing what I want you to do? This is about...
Doing correct things? The correct things are not the same correct things I see in my mind.
No.
Yes.
I'm all,
yes.
That's your own problem, my dear. If you don't like it, then that's up to you, really, in your life. My dear, we can't control anybody. Maybe just look at your temper. Look at the reason that you say the things that you say. I'm a person that takes words very seriously. Words are very important to me. And your choice of wording for me is everything. So why you choose the words you choose when communicating and in what situation you're communicating tells me a lot about you as an individual. Mm-hmm. Is it necessary for you to tell them that, yeah, that is why, yeah, that is why you are also infertile? How? How? We are talking about two slices of bread. Like, so your fighting style, is your fighting style go in for the kill, or is your fighting style neutralize the situation? Because what I hear is you are go in for the kill. You must learn how to fight. There's not much about you that you can change. You must just learn how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
How to fight. With who you are fighting. What to say and what not to say.
Yeah.
The other day, I got into a fight with my older brother. I think it was like 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
I got into a fight with my older brother. And we are doing him a favor. Ne? We are dropping mm-hmm. him off because he's drunk. And he wants to be insulting us. Yeah, me and the gang. Yeah, me and best friend now. Me and the gang. Now, best friend is, you cannot beat up your brother-in-law. Your in-laws will never forgive you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, he was just holding his tongue. And then at some point, we stopped the car. And best friend is like, I know what's your problem? You know, like, what is your problem? Like, what is that? What is your problem? And I don't have any words for my brother. He is mean. He is nasty. He is bad. You know, he's got such a bad heart. And he's, no. It's not about drunk. It's about the person that he is. He is such a jealous person, right? He can get $20,000, and then you get $200, and he'll still be upset that you got $200. He's those kinds of people, yeah. Like, then he must come and see what you got. Yeah. So he's like that. So I got out of the car, and then I just beat him up.
Are you ready to shape your future and make a difference through education? At Sunshine Private College, we are committed to providing exceptional tertiary education that's flexible, accessible, and tailored to your goals. We say education first. Our programs are accredited by the Namibia Qualifications Authority, NQA, and registered with the Namibia Council for Higher Education, NCHE. Enrollment for August 2026 is now open. Choose from postgraduate diploma in education, secondary, 1 year, Level 8, Bachelor of Education Honours in Junior Primary, 4 years Level 8, Bachelor of Education Honours in Senior Primary, 4 years Level 8, Diploma in Early Childhood Development and Junior Primary Education, 3 years Level 8, Study Full Time or Via Distance Learning Block Release. You choose what works for you. Call us today at 061-221805 or 081-288-5258 for more details. Sunshine Private College, not just about teaching, it's about inspiring your future.
Then I just beat him up. I'm telling you, nosebleed and everything. He's 37.
Why are you beating grown men?
Exactly. Like, because I don't have words for him. Because nothing I will say, ne, will touch him. Because he's bad. Yeah, so I just beat him up. Like, I'm not a person that's why I don't get angry. It takes such a long time to get me angry. Like, such a long time. You probably stay with me, ne, for 7 years and never get me angry. Because the whole time I'm just counting my strikes, mas. When I get to the fourth strike, I'm out. The friendship now, yeah, ending.
Everything.
Everything is done. I'm out.
No.
Yeah, I'm like that. Like, which I know, this is not working. I have a friend of mine that I've known for such a long time. Her name is Vivian. Vivian was so bad. Like, she was so bad and her lifestyle didn't match with my lifestyle. And then she wanted to do ombwera kaetu. Because she's born by prominent people, right? So when she goes out and then she drinks her alcohol and people lock her out, you know, she wants to come and crash at my place, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but why are you not going to crash at your house?
Exactly.
And this is a person that has like a whole 2-bedroom flat fully furnished with everything, but you can find her sleeping in the park. Like, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. This, like, what is, like, what is wrong with you? Ukorengane, but what wahapavi? Eh?
Yeah.
Oh, so eventually I reached the fourth strike and I said, "Men, don't talk to me, bro. You cannot come. You cannot disrespect me. I don't go to this person's house. I don't go to this person's house. And even when I go to the house, the house is so uncomfortable because their parents feel like better you don't belong or something. But them, they are having a lala baby of a child.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the one that's dragging their daughter to their house because the child is laying on the pavement somewhere. And I don't even drink, ne? And now I'm forced to, if I find you, I'm coming from my work and then I find you roaming in the streets, I'm forced now to take you home because I, like, your life, you understand? And then I get there and then your parents don't look at me with gratitude, they look at me as if, like, eh, you know, I'm like, take your thing, how? Like, and I told her, I don't want that responsibility. So when you see me, turn the other side. And when you see me, we don't talk. We don't know each other. We cross each other's paths like that. She thought I was joking. It's been 7 years. She thought I was joking. In all honesty, she thought I was joking. It's been 7 years. She can greet me, ne, but to me, it's like there was just a wind blowing here. I'm those kind of people. When I say you are dead to me, you are really dead to me.
When did you see her?
Oh, I see her all the time, like at the shops.
Really?
Yeah, Akora, Ambuka, it's like, I hear. Are we not growing? My dear. Hi guys. So when I decide that you are dead to me, you are dead to me for real, for real. Like,
difficult sentence.
Yeah?
The difficult sentence.
I do. Four strikes, remember?
Uh-huh.
You get to number four. And you get to number four over a long period of time. I don't judge you in terms of like, yeah, Nduva insulted me yesterday. You know, that's one strike. No. Because that is something that is normal. Because of one, your personality. Two, the incident that happened. Three, where are we in our lives? Four, what type of frustrations? I look at everything before I give you this strike, you know? Yeah, I look at everything, Kucha. Even if I were her, and I was one, going through whatever I'm going through, two, I'm feeling some type of way, three, I don't feel hurt and I don't feel what, I would also insult. This is me being backed up in a corner. I would understand. So that's not where I strike you. Where I strike you is where you show disloyalty and betrayal. That's where I strike you. Where I tell you my confidential things and this is something that you make a mockery out of. That means you don't understand, human emotion. That means that you lack in human, in emotional intelligence. And I can't be around somebody that lacks in that avenue because I'm an emotional person. So I could be giving you a strike because of the lack of something within your personality, something that does not fit with me.
I get it.
Yeah, you can be a hardcore clubber, and when we are chilling. It's not a problem. You can be a church girl, and when we are talking. It's not a problem. What the problem is, how your personality conflicts mine, and how we intertwine. Like with you, I love your personality. I also know that you also have a short fuse. You only have an energy span of a little bit of time. You don't have a lot of speaking power.
Yeah.
You get tired. So even if you and I were to be, even when you come for a weekend, right? You and I will most probably sit there for 2 hours, and then the rest of the time we talk like in intervals. We eat, we watch something, and that's basically it. Or we can have like a deep conversation, but it's not shallow conversations because okafusa kokafupinai.
Yeah. Definitely.
Like it drains you completely, like. So, if it's not meaningful, then let's just sit in silence. That's exactly the type of person that you are. If it's not meaningful what we're talking about, then just leave it. And there are other popine, oh, my bro, exito emonanga. Oh, kwa ya zara, ostao yellow man. Like, ah, bro, now me, I'm tired. I don't talk about exit.
Mm-hmm. And I'll call you in September. September is around the corner.
No problem.
I love you so much. You're like a big sister to me. Like, I actually found a big sister. I always wanted to know, like, just have, you know, like somebody to talk to and what.
Gandhi ku advice akana kanje. Gay, tikurombo yakucha. Ningange ka ningange. And the nice thing about me is that my advice never ever fails. Ever. I'm so good with people. I read you and what you need. Not what I need from you, but what you need.
The advice that you gave me the other day when I had a show with you, it's something that I'm really, it helped me so much. I'm not that person anymore because you're like, yeah, maybe you're also just, you know.
Yeah. And now you see how things are falling into place, ne?
Things are just okay. I'm not stressed about anything anymore.
Exactly. And nobody's also coming at you with any kind of funny vibes.
Exactly.
Everything is just mnandi.
I don't do those things. I'm doing things that I genuinely want to do. I'm not doing things that I want to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really work. Even because I'm being minded and doing the kupure meanda ati tuare pogari.
Ehe no irara tatu yero katara shekan. No problem. No problem, my love.
Good night, my love. I love you.
And I love you. Bye bye.
Bye.
Ciao. Alrighty, good evening to you, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to our first TED Talk for the evening, where we are going to be talking about 5 steps of designing the life you want for yourself. And, ladies and gentlemen, this is not... we claim no ownership of the clips that we play here at Eagle FM. This is strictly for illustration purposes and for learning purposes and for the purpose of making a stronger case within our show. Enjoy.
the book, and he's the guy. Hello, everyone. I'm here to help you design your life. We're going to use the technique of design thinking. Design thinking is something we've been working on at the D School and in the School of Engineering for over 50 years. And it's an innovation methodology. Works on products, works on services. But I think the most interesting design problem is your life. So that's what we're going to talk about. I want to just make sure everybody knows, sees my buddy Dave Evans's face. Dave and I are the co-authors of the book, and he's the guy who helped me co-found the Life Design Lab at Stanford. So what do we do in the Life Design Lab? Well, we teach the class that helps you figure out what you want to be when you grow up. Now, I'm going to give you the first reframe. Designers love reframes. How many of you hope you never grow up and lose that childlike curiosity that drives everything you do? Raise your hand. Right. Who wants to grow up? I mean, we've been talking about curiosity in almost every one of these talks. And so I'd like to reframe this as we say, we teach the class that helps you figure out what you want to grow into next as this life of yours, this amazing design of yours unfolds. So design thinking is what we teach, and it's a set of mindsets. It's how designers think. You know, we've been taught probably in the university to be sort of skeptical realists, rationalists. But that's not very useful as a mindset when you're trying to do something new, something no one's ever done before. So we say you start with curiosity and you lean into what you're curious about. We say you reframe problems because most of the time we find people are working on the wrong problems and they have a wonderful solution to something that doesn't work anyway. So what's the point of working on the wrong thing? We say radical collaboration because the answer's out in the world with other people. That's where your experience of your life will be. We want to be mindful of our process. There are times in the design process when you want lots of ideas. And there are times in the design process where you really want to converge and test some things, prototype some things. So you want to be good at that. And the other is biased action. Now, you know, I'll say that we think no plan for your life will survive first contact with reality. Reality has a tendency to throw little things at us that we weren't expecting, sometimes good things, sometimes bad. So we say, just have a bias to action. Try stuff. Why? Why did we start this class? Well, I've been in office hours for a long, long time with my students. I've been teaching here for a while. Dave as well. He was teaching over at that the community college in Berkeley for a while. And what we notice is, I'm sorry. It's a Stanford TEDx. What we notice is that people get stuck. People really get stuck, and then they don't know what to do, and they don't seem to have any tools for getting unstuck. And designers get stuck all the time. I mean, I signed up to be a designer, which means I'm going to work on something that I've never done every day. And I get stuck and unstuck and stuck and unstuck all the time. But we also noticed as we went out and we talked to folks, not just our students, but people in mid-career and encore careers, that people have a bunch of beliefs which psychologists label dysfunctional beliefs, things they believe that are true that actually aren't true. And it holds them back. I'll give you three. First one is, what's your passion? Tell me your passion and then I'll tell you what you need to do. Now, if you actually have one of these things, these passions, you knew at 2 you wanted to be a doctor, you knew at 7 you wanted to be a clown at Cirque du Soleil, and now you are one, that's awesome. But, you know, we're sort of research-based here at Stanford, so we went over to the Center for the Study of Adolescence, which, by the way, now goes up to 27. I met with Bill Damon, who's one of our colleagues. He's a fantastic guy. He studied this question, and it turns out less than 20% of the people have any one singular identifiable passion in their lives. So we hate a methodology which says, okay, come to the front of the line. You have a passion? Oh, you don't? Oh, I'm sorry. Go to the back when you have one. Come on back and we'll help you out with that. It's terrible. 8 out of 10 people say, I have lots of things I'm interested in. So this is not an organizing principle for your search or your design. The second one is, well, you should know by now, right? Don't you know where you're going? If you don't know, you're late. Now, what are you late for exactly? I'm not quite sure. But people have, you know, there's a meta narrative in the culture. In my, when I was growing up, 25, you were supposed to have, you know, maybe have a relationship, maybe have gotten married, starting to get the family together. When I talk to my students, my millennial students, they'll say, oh, that's got to be like 30 or something, because they can't imagine anything past like 22. But 30 is a long way out. But we know that nowadays people are forming their lives much more fluidly. They are staying in a lot more dynamic motion between about 22 and 35. And so this notion that you're late is really kind of, you should have figured this out by now. Dave and I don't should on anybody. In the book or in the class, we don't believe in should. We just think, all right, you are wherever you are. Let's start from where you are. You're not late for anything. But the one we really don't like is, are you being the best possible version of you? I mean, because you're not settling, are you, for something that's less than the best? Because this is Stanford. Obviously, we all want to be the best. Well, this implies that, one, there's a singular best, two, that it's a linear thing, and life is anything but linear. And three, there's this old, it kind of comes from this business notion. There's an old business saying, good is the enemy of better, better is the enemy of best. And you always want to do your best in business. But if there isn't one singular best, then our reframe is, the unattainable best is the enemy of all the available betters. Because there are many, many versions of you that you could play out, all of which would result in a well-designed life. So I'm going to give you three ideas from design thinking and the way, or five ideas, excuse me. It says five, doesn't it? Yeah, five ideas from design thinking. And the things that people have written back to us, who've read the book or taken the class and said, hey, these were the most useful. These were the most doable. They were the most helpful. And we're human-centered designers, so we want to be helpful. The first one is this notion of connecting the dots. The number one reason people take our class, and we hear read the book, is they say, you know, I want my life to be meaningful. I want it to be purposeful. I want it to add up to something. So we looked in the positive psychology literature and in the design literature, and it turns out that there's who you are, there's what you believe, and there's what you do in the world. And if you can make a connection between these three things, if you can make that a coherent story, you will experience your life as meaningful. The increase in meaning-making comes from connecting the dots. So we do two things. We ask people, write a work view. What's your theory of work? Not the job you want, but why do you work? What's it for? What's work in service of? Once you have that, 250 words then, this one's a little harder to get short. What's the meaning of life? What's the big picture? Why are you here? What is your faith or your view of the world? When you can connect your life view and your work view together in a coherent way, you start to experience your life as meaningful. That's idea number one. Idea number two, people get stuck, and you got to be careful, because we can reframe almost anything, but there's a class of problems that people get stuck on that are really, really bad problems. We call them gravity problems. Essentially, there's something you cannot change. Now, you have, not you, but I know you have a friend, and you've been having coffee with this friend for a while, and they're stuck. They don't like their boss. They don't like their partner. They don't like their job. There's something they don't like, but nothing's happening, right? Nothing's happening with them. If Dave were here, he'd say, look, you can't solve a problem you're not willing to have. You can't solve a problem you're not willing to have. So if you've got a gravity problem, and you're simply not willing to work on it, then it's just a circumstance in your life. And the only thing we know to do with gravity problems is to accept. In the design thinking chart, you start with empathy, then you redefine the problem, then you come up with lots of ideas, and you prototype and test things. But that only works if it's a problem you're willing to work on. The first thing to do is accept. And once you've accepted, this is a gravity problem, I can't change it. You know, this is a company and the company is a family-run company, and the name of the founder is on the door, and if you're not in the family, you can't be the president. You're right. You can't. So now you have to decide, what do you want to do? Is that a circumstance that you can reframe and work in, or do you need to do something else? So be really careful about gravity problems, because they're pernicious and they really get in the way. But back to this idea of multiples. I do a little thought experiment with my students. And I say, you know, the physicists up at SLAC have kind of demonstrated that this multiverse thing might be real. You've heard of this, right? That there are multiple parallel universes, one right next to each other. And I said, you know, we'll do a thought experiment. Let's say you could live in all the multiverses simultaneously. And not only that, but you would know about your life in each one of these instances. So you could go back and be the ballerina and the scientist and the CPA and whatever else you wanted to be. You could have all these lives in parallel. When I ask them, how many lives are you? How many lives would you want? I get answers from 3 to 10,000. But, you know, we've sort of done the average. It's about 7.5. Most people think they have about 7.5 really good lives that they could live. And here's the deal. You only get one. But it turns out it's not what you don't choose. It's what you choose in life that makes you happy. Nevertheless, we reframe this and we say, great, there's more lives than one in you. So let's go on an odyssey and let's really figure out those lives. And we ask people to do some design. In the ideate bubble, it's about having lots of ideas. So we say, let's have some ideas. We're going to ideate your future, but you can't ideate just one. You have to ideate three. Now, there's some research from the School of Education that says if you start with three ideas and you brainstorm from there, you get a wider range of ideas. The ideas are more generative, and they lead to better solutions to the problem rather than just starting with one and then brainstorming forward. So we always do threes. There's something magical about threes. We have people do three lives, and it's transformational. We give them this little rubric. One, the thing you're doing, the thing you're doing right now, whatever your career is, just do it. And you're going to do it for 5 years, and it's going to come out great. So, I mean, in design, we're sort of values neutral except for one thing. We never design anything to make it worse, right? I have been on some teams that made some pretty bad products, but we weren't trying to. We were trying to make it better. So thing one, your life, make it better. And also put in the bucket list stuff. You want to go to Paris, want to go to the Galapagos before the guy with the ice thing, before it's all underwater and we can't see it anymore. So that's plan one. Your life now goes great. Plan two, I'm really sorry to tell you, but the robots and the AI stuff, that job doesn't exist anymore. The robots are doing it. We don't need you to do that anymore. Now what are you going to do? So what do you do if the thing that you've got goes away? And everybody's got a side hustle or something that they can do to make that work. And three is, what's your wildcard plan? What would you do if you didn't have to worry about money? You got enough. You're not fabulously wealthy, but you got enough. And what would you do if you knew no one would laugh? My students come into my office hours a lot of times, and they'll say something like, well, what I really want to do is this, but I can just hear people saying, you didn't go to Stanford to do that, did you? Right? Because somehow or other, if you went to Stanford, you have to do some of the amazing things that the past speakers have been doing. But what would you do if you had enough money and you didn't care what people thought? Anything from, I'm going to go study butterflies to I want to be a bartender, you know, in Belize. What would you do? And people have those three plans. Now, what happens when they do this is, one, they realize, oh my gosh, I could actually have imagined three completely parallel lives. They're all pretty interesting. Two, they rarely go become a bartender, you know, in Belize. But a lot of times, the things that come up on the other plans were things that they left behind somehow. In the busyness of life, they forgot about those things. And so they bring them back and they put them in plan one. They make their lives even better. Sometimes they do pivot, but mostly they just use this as a method of ideating all the possible wonderful ways they could have a life. Now, you could start executing that, but in our model, the thing you do after you have ideas is you build a prototype. We have met people who've like quit their job and suddenly done something else. It hardly ever works. You kind of have to sneak up on it because in our model, we want to set the bar really low, try stuff, have some success, do it again.
Young so immigrants who have recently turned 18 years old, the time has come for you to take your first step in exercising your constitutional right of voting. Register as a voter during the supplementary registration of voters, which takes place from the 4th until the 19th of August, 2025. Uphold your civic duty. Get involved. Step up for your right and register to vote.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namuria.
Language. What we mean is a way to ask an interesting question. What would it be like if I tried this? A way to expose the assumptions. Is this even the thing I want, or is that just something I remember I wanted when I was 20? I got to go out in the world and do this, so I'm going to get others involved in prototyping my life. And I'm going to sneak up on the future, because I don't know if this is exactly what I want. The two kinds of life design prototypes, one we call a prototype conversation. You know, William Gibson, the science fiction writer, has a famous quote, "The future is already here, it's just unevenly distributed." So there is someone who's a bartender in Ibiza. He has been doing it for years. I could go meet him and have a conversation, he or she. Somebody else is doing something else I'm interested in. All these people are out there. They're living in my future today. They're doing what I want to do today. And if I have a conversation with them, I just ask for their story, and everybody will tell you their story. If you buy them a cup of coffee, they'll tell you the story. And if I hear something in the story that rings in me, we have this thing we call narrative resonance. When I hear a story that's kind of like my story, something happens. And I can identify that as a potential way of moving forward. The other one is a prototype experience. I was working with, Dave and I were working with a woman, sort of mid-career in her 40s, and very successful tech executive, but wanted to move from money-making to meaning-making, wanted to do something more meaningful. Thinking of going back to school, getting an MA in education, working with kids. But she's like, you know, I don't know, I'm 45, going back to school, is that going to work? And then I heard about these millennials, they're kind of mean, and they don't like old people. You know, what am I going to do, Bill? I said, well, you just have to go try this, you know. Turns out, so we sent her to a seminar class, into a large lecture hall class. By the way, you just put on a T-shirt that says Stanford, you walk into a class, nobody knows. She wasn't registered, but everybody, you know, she went to the classes, and she came back, and she said, you know what, it was fantastic. I walked into the lecture hall, I sat down, my body was on fire. It was interesting. I'm so interested in the way the lecture was going. And then I met these millennials. It turned out they're pretty interesting people. I've set up three prototype conversations, and they think I'm interesting because I'm coming back to school and I'm 45. So she had a felt experience, because we are more than just our brains. She had a felt experience that this might work for her. So those are two ways you could prototype your way forward. The last idea. You want to make a good decision well. So many people make choices, and they're not happy with their choices because they don't really know. How do they know what they know, right? It's a hard thing, particularly nowadays when we have so many choices. So we have a process. Again, it comes from the positive psychology guys. Gather and create options. Once you get good at design, you're really good at coming up with lots of options. You got to narrow those down to the working list that you can work with. Then you make the choice. You make a good choice. And then, of course, you agonize that you did the wrong thing. All my students have what is called FOMO, fear of missing out. What if I didn't pick the right thing? I had someone came into my office and said, I'm going to declare three majors and two minors. And I said, do you plan on being here for a few years? It's not going to happen, right? So we don't say that. We say, you want to let go and move on. And all these have some psychological basis in them. Let me tell you about. So once you get good at gathering and creating ideas, you also want to make sure you leave room for the good, the lucky ideas, the serendipitous ideas. And this is a guy named Tony Hsieh. He's was the CEO at Zappos. He sold it to Amazon. But he had a before you became an employee.
Easter's cheaper with extra low prices at Furman Brock. Get 2 kg Tastic rice for $36.99. A 2 liter Coca-Cola for only $21.99. 2 kg Sunlight hand or auto washing powder for $54.99. And 9 Twin Saver 2-ply toilet rolls for only $69.99. Hop on over to vurmanbrock.com to see more Easter bargains at WB. We care.
But he had a, before you became an employee at Zappos, you had to take a test, and the test was, are you lucky? 1, 2, or 3, I'm not very lucky, I'm not sure why. 7, 8, 9, 10, I'm very lucky, great things happen to me all the time, I'm not sure why. He wouldn't hire anybody that was not lucky. I think is probably illegal, but it was based on... But it was based on a piece of research where psychologists did the same thing, rate yourself from lucky to unlucky, and then they had people read New York Times, the front section of New York Times, 30 pages, lots of articles, and the graduate student said, please count the number of either headlines or photographs, depending on the test. And if you get the right, when you get the whole thing read and you count the number of photographs, just tell the person at the end, and if you got the right number, you get $100. Of course, you all know that when a graduate student tells you what the experiment is, that's not the experiment. So inside this thing that looked like a New York Times 30 pages front page, inside all the stories were little pieces of text that said, if you read this, the experiment's over, collect an extra $150. People who rated themselves as unlucky, by and large, got the right answer, 36 headlines, whatever it was, got the $100. People who read themselves as lucky, 7, 8, 9, or 10, 80% of the time noticed the text and got the extra 150. It's not about being lucky. It's about paying attention to what you're doing and keeping your peripheral vision open. Because it's in your peripheral vision that those interesting opportunities show up, right, that you were not expecting. So you want to get good at being lucky. Narrowing down. This is quite simple. If you have too many choices, you go into what psychologists call choice overload, and then you have essentially no choices. Here's the experiment. This was done at Stanford. You walk into a grocery store, and there's a nice lady with a, she's got a table, and on the table she has six jams, and you come over, try the jams, have a sample, buy some jam. Six jams, about 30 people who will go by, pick a jam, or stop and test something, and about a third of those actually buy a jam. Okay, that's the baseline. Next week, you walk in, 24 jams. Jalapeno, strawberry, banana, whatever, all sorts of jams. Well, guess what happens? Twice as many people stop. Look at all these jams. It's so interesting. 3% of the people buy. When you have too many choices, you have no choice. What do you do when you have too many choices? Just cross off a bunch of choices. The psychologists tell us we can't handle more than 5 to 7. I'd say 5. If you've got a bunch of choices, cross them all off. Just pick the 5 and then make your decision there. Oh, my God. What if I pick the wrong ones? What if I cross off the wrong ones? Right? Well, you won't, because it's the pizza or Chinese food thing. You're at the office, and everybody says, hey, let's go out to lunch today. That sounds great. What do you want to do? Pizza or Chinese food? I don't care. Okay, everybody gets together, and halfway, you know, in the elevator on the way down, someone says, let's get Chinese food. And then you go, no, I want pizza. You won't make the decision until you won't decide how you feel about the decision until the decision's made. That's a piece of research that's been done again and again and again. So just cross them off. If you cross off the wrong one, you'll have a feeling somewhere in your stomach that you did the wrong thing. Choosing. This is about that feeling in your stomach. You cannot choose well if you choose only from your rational mind. This is Dan Goleman, who wrote the book on emotional intelligence. He's does a lot of research on this, a lot of brain science. There's a part of your brain, way down in the base brain, the basal ganglia, that summarizes emotional decisions for you. I did something, got good emotional response from that. Good, check. Did something, a little bad emotional response to that. It summarizes all of the emotions that you have felt and how your decisions were valenced, positive or negative and emotional. The problem with that part of your brain is it's so early in the brain, it doesn't talk to the part of your brain that talks. It has no connection to the prefrontal cortex or anything else. It's only connected to your GI tract and your limbic system. So it gives you information through felt sensations, a gut feeling. Without that, you can't make good decisions. And then the letting go and moving on. This was the hardest part for me, but this is also the work of Dan Gilbert, who is a distinguished scientist at Harvard, despite the fact that he's doing insurance commercials now. And he's been studying decision making and how do you make yourself happy. So you walk in, another psychology experiment, the postdoc has got 5 Monet prints, 5 pictures from Monet, and you rank them from best to least. I like this one the most, I like this one the least, number 1 and number 5. Thank you very much. Experiment's over. Oh, by the way, as you're walking out, the grad student says, you know, I kind of screwed up and I bought too many of number 2 and 3. So if you want to take one home, you can just have it. 2 conditions. In one case, take it home and have it, but don't bring it back because I'm kind of embarrassed, and just keep it. You can't exchange it. Second condition, I got lots of these. If you don't like the one you picked, you can swap it back and pick another one. And of course, everybody picks number 2. It's a little better than number 3. Bring people back in a week later, say, re-rank the stimuli. Which one do you like now? The people who are allowed to change their mind don't like their painting. They don't like the print. They don't like the other one anymore. They don't like any of them anymore. In fact, they don't like the whole process, and they have destroyed their opportunity to be happy. The people who were told, you pick it, it's yours, you can't return it, love their print. They typically rank it as number 1 and think the rest of them suck. If you make decisions reversible, your chance of being happy goes down like 60 or 70%. So let go and move on. Make the decision irreversible. And by the way, as a designer, that's no problem because you're really good at generating options. That's what you're great at ideation. You're really good at prototyping to get data in the world to see if that world is going to be the world you want to live in. So you have no fear of missing out. It's just a process, mindful of process. Collect, reduce, decide, move on. That's how you make yourself happy. So the five ideas, connecting the dots to find meaning through work and life views. Stay away from gravity problems because I can't fix those and neither can you. Reframe those to something that is workable. Do three plans, never one. Always do three of everything. Three ideations for any of the problems you're working on to make sure that you've covered not just the ideas that you had when you started, but all the other ideas that are possible. Prototype everything in your life before you jump in and try it. And choose well. There's no point in making a good choice poorly. Choose well, and you will find that things in your life are much easier. And you can do this. We know you can because thousands of students have done it. Two PhD studies have been done in the class that demonstrate higher self-efficacy, lower dysfunctional beliefs. It's a fascinating process to watch people who don't think of themselves as creative go through this class and walk out saying, you know what? I'm a pretty creative person. What David Kelly calls creative confidence. So we know you can do it. Thank you very much. It's simple. Get curious. Talk to people and try stuff. And you will design a well-lived and joyful life. Thank you.
There is a process in engineering called reverse engineering. It's used when you dismantle, deconstruct a product in order to know its information and how it got to be where it was when you saw it last. So before coming here today and telling you how I redesigned my life, I had to deconstruct the past 15 years of my life to show you the process that I had to go through to get to where I am here today, standing in front of you all. When we were young, growing up, okay, you're not supposed to laugh at that picture, you guys over there, okay. We were told to have a good life and be successful, we had to be going through a certain path. To be successful, we needed to go to school, get a degree, and get a good job, win a fantastic husband, have children, raise them same way as we were raised for them to be successful, then retire, and then spend whatever years we have left on this earth taking care of our grandchildren. Now, I started the journey on the right track. I was always at the top in my class. I received a scholarship. I was lucky enough to get a scholarship and go off to a great university. Graduated as an architectural engineer, secured a government job, married a very understanding, handsome guy, had raised three children, wonderful children, and my daughter brought the fourth one into the family. Now you would say I was off to a great start, right? Until 15 years ago, when my journey had a twist in it. The cliche happy life and success suddenly took another turn. I was turned down to be a CEO of the organization I was in at the time because of my gender, because I was a woman, or I am a woman. They wanted a man. So I decided, you know what? It was time to leave the corporate life and see what life had arranged for me going forward. I was 47 and I was lost. Looking back, I believe that the turning point was when I started redesigning my life, although I didn't know it then. That was the turning point. In my own eyes, I was a failure, thinking that to be successful and have a good life and be happy, I needed to prove to myself and to everyone around me that I was good enough to make it as a CEO. My pursuit of a new job started then, because I believed I had to get a job to have an identity, that the job was my identity. I thought that because I had not made it to the top level in a corporate world, I still had to prove to everyone that I was worthy of making it to the top. There was something unfinished. On the other hand, I wasn't getting employed now, because guess what? I was overqualified. And I couldn't just sit alone and do nothing. So I went back to school. I got my first master's degree. I waited 2 years. Now I was overqualified and I had a lot of degrees. What can I do? Okay, I'll go in and get another degree. I got my second master's degree. It was halfway through the second master's degree that I got the chance to get into a PhD journey. And then I dove in. Now on the other side of the story, what was happening in the community? When I started studying again, society was like, Leish, why? You know, you have a good husband, you have a good life, you have great children. Why do you want to go back to school? Just relax and enjoy life. But what about me? I was asking them. That's it? That's not what I want. Okay? That was the first shift in my journey. What other people think that I should be doing in my life is not in their hand, it's in my own hands. And believe me, my children were the ones who made me realize that. But still, I was a failure in my own eyes. Okay? I had to prove to everyone that I had to have a C-suite position. And that being part of a corporation was what gave me identity. I was still looking for that identity. So I was deeply now drowned in my research. And it's a very lonely phase. Okay? And one becomes isolated with the research and with their own thoughts. It was in this isolation that I started wondering, what was I really looking for? What would give meaning to my life and make me happy or happier? The seeking of meaning in life led me to dive into how our thoughts make us trigger feelings inside of us and then become these individuals who think the whole world is against them or become a better version of themselves. Now that was 12 years ago and I started redesigning my life and how I wanted, not the society, how to live going forward. It was a design that incorporated a lot of work, okay? The fields of mental and physical body had to come together. Okay. Mental, by working on my thoughts, and physical, by working on my body to become fit. Because I started reading, listening to podcasts, and learning from others and from the researchers how they did it, so that I would know how to do it myself. But reading alone doesn't get you there, right? Action does. Atomic Habits by James Clear says to stop paying so much attention to your goals and start working on the systems, on the habits that you have to do every day in order for you to get there. Be mindful of your systems or habits and put them in order, acting upon them. I ask myself, what is the life that I want to look forward to? Is it one with fame, money, and status? Or one full of enjoyment, satisfaction, and joy, and purpose? So I needed to understand those terms. It's nice to read them. It's nice to see them out there. But you have to understand them and how to get there. What is the meaning of life? What is the bigger purpose or picture? Why did God create me? I came across a positive psychology literature with the notion that if you can make connection between three things and make it a coherent story, you will get to what meaning in life is. The increase in meaning comes from connecting three things. What is your theory of work? And by that, we don't say not the job you want, but why do you work? What is it for? What is work in service of? The first thing that kept coming back again and again was that, okay, my life on this earth is shorter than what I had already accumulated so far. I knew that longevity needs a sound mind and a healthy body. I started researching, reading, attending workshops on ways to calm my thoughts while at the same time working on my body and started an exercise routine. Exercise became a routine. It was in my daily life and not a seasonal option where we just want to lose a few kilos because we have this wedding coming up. We have to get fit into that dress and then forget about the diet and the exercise and go back to the ordinary life. It becomes a habit. David Burnett and Dave Evans, in their book, Designing Your Life, they say we get stuck on a class of problems that are bad problems. And they call it gravity problem. Now, what is gravity problem? There are things that we cannot change. It's not in our hands. Okay? And we simply, it's just the circumstances that are out there and we cannot solve it. Once we accept it's a gravity problem and we cannot change it, we have to see what we want to do with it. Is that a circumstance we can work on? Or do we need to do something else? Now, what was my gravity problem? My gravity problem was being stuck in getting a job as a CEO, being in the C-suite level. It depended on many things, though, out there. It wasn't in my hands. And if you all know, there is a lot of waste involved. And if you don't have it, you will not get it. So it was the end of that story. And then I started trying different scenarios. Arthur Brooks, author of, I'm stuck still with those pictures. Arthur Brooks says, there is change in our intelligence when we move from our 40s to our 50s and to our 60s. And they call it that it goes from fluid intelligence to crystallized intelligence. Now, what do they mean by crystallized intelligence? It rewards the ability to use ideas, and then much more so that what we take and we do it, rephrase it, and then put it out there and share it with others, instead of the fluid intelligence, which is in our younger years. Turn that crystallized intelligence into other focus, not self-focus. That's what he means. That is when I started focusing on the stories of others and not on my story. I opened the space for training. That's when I was lost. And so I opened up a space for training and workshops and sharing knowledge, and a whole new world opened up for me. I started seeing youngsters that we have in the community, that they are doing amazing things that we don't know about, and started talking to them. COVID hit, and in my isolation, I discovered Brené Brown and her 25 years of research of vulnerability, and how vulnerability is beautiful, and that we are enough as we are. And I don't need to get that C-suite job that I was looking for all this time. I was enough. And the data, now this is very interesting. There is another data that says when we reach to our 70s, it becomes, the population breaks into two categories. One group keeps getting happier, going towards the end, while the other group becomes less happy, going towards the end. What can I do to give me a bigger chance to be on the upper branch of the 70s going towards the end? Today I'm 62. I have redesigned my life looking forward to living one day at a time with gratitude and a lot of love. And with the world showcasing myself to the youngsters as someone to look forward to when they get to my age and become something like me, I hope. I also want my generation to look at me and start believing that our lives are built by us and not the society. I started my own podcasts and interviewed individuals with beautiful stories and shared them with the community. The most critical bath shift happened exactly a year ago in October when I started going on adventure trips with beautiful young souls, and I met them for the first time and saw who I truly am through their eyes. At 62, I am the first female in this region to summit Mount Kilimanjaro. With them, I realized how strong I am, mentally and physically. I discovered the magnitude of my strength and the identity I was looking for through their eyes. I now teach at the university as an assistant professor and share my life knowledge and experience with the students, not just teaching them books, but adding my experience to it, which makes it a lot more. The most important relationship in life is the one you have with yourself. When you become comfortable in your own company and at peace with yourself and with everyone around you, any other relationship is a plus, not a must. And then I started having meaning in my life. The algorithm for having successful, content life is work for it by learning about it, apply it, practice it in your life. You cannot learn something just reading a book or listening to a podcast or an interview or seeing it others do it and you don't. Stop paying so much attention to goals. Start paying attention to the habits, to the systems. Be more mindful of your systems and put priorities in order, your priorities. Then when you get it, share it with everyone else. I want to engage more and more with conversation with the community around me to believe that working on their mental and physical health is the thing that will get them gracefully and being at the same time fit. I want you to believe that we are all work in progress all the time and that happiness or happierness, as Oprah Winfrey coined it, she said we become happier every day. It's a journey and not a destination. I want you to get curious, talk to people, go on adventures, and design a well-lived, enjoyable life. I want you to plan where you want to be in your life in 10 years' time.
Egameno jomau yerere koko marungura kalishi ashike upsakadhi wa pau teknika oliriwo omkundu opashigwana upsakadhi wa paliko no hashivuro okuyamoshi para uhupiro uongeshefa oshinimo mtumba wa Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition omvoma ovigaje miongo mbali na khamano ikondo epangero mahangano opa umwene uministeri wepangero ni ikondo ya yoroka no handimwe onetamu isanwa muhoroke komtumba omtitatu watumburwa mete tekero esikwa mirongo mbali na gali sikwa mbali na ganega apiriri mwavigali mirongo mbali na khamano ekaroko Arembush Travel Lodge Movenduka oshiparashi kundathanwa okwanja gane kuyerere kombinga uko shoki wopa ungomba ano saiba hejin kena una okuironge kithira omashongo woko marungura no marongo kehopopeko jerongitho jo marungura na iru inji koneka omahangano ohandimwe ni kondo mbokata mkatu maa kaliripo ya konda pantu ya tano otamukapewa ompi mito yomtu umwe awedwa po hasho ashikeshoka pethimbo yomtumba gotungoka otakukakara o VIP cyber gala dinner nuyere ronji wa maisha angizo no mapura puro kwatathana nayo kondra getatu imwe onda tuyatano omgoigeali nenge ko email info@dstech.com.na nenge utarere po panja jao jopa ungomba ko www.dstech.com.na Namibia International Cyber Security Conference and Exhibition, Securing Namibia Digital Future.
Be in your life in 10 years' time by working at it in 5 years, 1 year, 1 month, 1 week, day by day. Okay? Need to do what you need to do today. What systems you need to put for you to live day and day and live working on that system. That is intention without attachment. As Simon Sinek says, the goals are finite, but our system and habits are infinite. I want you to condition yourself according to your strengths, purpose, and meaning in life, and not what society defines for you. I want you to condition your mind towards growth mindset and believe that we're all unique and we're all work in progress. I want you to believe that happiness is a journey, not a destination. I want you to have the goal of being on the upper branch when you get to your 70s. We all come to this world crying, but let us leave with a happy smile and love in the hearts of everyone that we have around us. Thank you.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We must love, we must love, we must love and be the best versions of ourselves, shall we?
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Some behavior that we would like to change about ourselves. And we certainly all want to help someone else change their behavior in a positive way. So maybe it's your kid, your spouse, your colleague. So I want to share some new research with you that I think reveals something really important about what gets people to change their behavior. But before I do that, let's zoom in on one strategy that I think you probably use a lot. So let's say you're trying to stop yourself from snacking. What do you tell yourself? Well, most people's inner monologue will say, beware, you'll be fat. And if this was your kid, you would probably tell him that smoking kills, and by the way, he's in big, big trouble. So what we're trying to do here is we're trying to scare ourselves and others into changing their behavior. And it's not just us. Warnings and threats are really common in health campaigns, in policy. It's because we all share this deep-rooted belief that if you threaten people, if fear is induced, it will get them to act. And it seems like a really reasonable assumption. Except for the fact that the science shows that warnings have very limited impact on behavior. So graphic images on cigarette packets, for example, do not deter smokers from smoking. And one study found that after looking at those images, quitting actually became a lower priority for smokers. So I'm not saying that warnings and threats never work, but what I'm saying is that on average, they seem to have a very limited impact, and so the question is why? Why are we resistant to warnings? Well, if you think about animals, when you induce fear in an animal, the most common response you will see is freezing or fleeing. Fighting, not as much. And so humans are the same. So something scares us, we tend to shut down and we try to eliminate the negative feelings. So we might use rationalization. So for example, you might tell yourself, my grandpa smoked, he lived to be 90, so I have really good genes and absolutely nothing to worry about. And this process can actually make you feel more resilient than you did before, which is why warnings sometimes have this boomerang effect. And other times, we simply put our head in the ground. Take the stock market, for example. Do you know when people pull their head out of the ground to look at their accounts, not to make a transaction, just to log in to check their account? So what you're seeing here in black is the S&P 500 over 2 years, and in gray is a number of times that people logged into their account just to check. And this is data from Carlson, Loewenstein, and CEPI. It's controlled for all the obvious confounds. So what do we see? So when the market is high, people log in all the time.
I told you guys, that is an unhealthy relationship we have with our banking apps, but we didn't want to listen. And now the experts are telling us about that kind of thing. So maybe we must change it. It is most a lifestyle thing. It's us changing our lifestyles to create a better one. So maybe, just maybe, we must listen. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hi. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings. We are vibing. We are vibing. It is a Friday evening. It is the 8th of August. It is nice, Mnandi so.
Because positive information makes you feel good, so you seek it out. And when the market is low, people avoid logging in. Because negative information makes us feel bad, so we try to avoid it altogether. And all this is true as long as bad information can reasonably be avoided. So what you don't see here is what happened a few months later in the financial collapse of 2008 when the market went drastically down, and that's when people started logging in frantically. But it was a bit too late. So you can think about it like this. It's not just finance. In many different parts of our life, we have warning signs and bad behaviors now. And they could potentially lead to all these bad outcomes later. But not necessarily so, because there's different routes from your present to your future, right? It can go this way, it can go that way. And as time passes, you gather more and more information about where the wind is blowing. And at any point, you can intervene, and you could potentially change the outcome. But that takes energy, and you might tell yourself, well, what's the point about worrying about something that might happen, it might not happen. Until we reach this point, at which time you do jump into action, but sometimes it's a little bit too late. So we wanted to know in my lab what type of information does leak into people. So we conducted an experiment where we asked approximately 100 people to estimate the likelihood of 80 different negative events that might happen to them in the future. So for example, I might ask you, what is the likelihood that you will suffer hearing loss in your future? And let's say you think it's about 50%. Then I give you the opinion of two different experts. So expert A tells you, you know, for someone like you, I think it's only 40%. So they give you a rosier view of your future. Expert B says, you know, for someone like you, I actually think it's about 60%. It's worse. So they give you a bleaker view of your future. What should you do? Well, you shouldn't change your beliefs, right? Wrong. What we find is that people tend to change their beliefs towards a more desirable opinion. In other words, people listen to the positive information. Now, this study was conducted on college students. So you might say, well, college students are delusional, right? We all know that. And surely as we grow older, we grow wiser. So we said, okay, let's test that. Does this really generalize? Does it generalize to your kid? Does it generalize to your parent? Does it generalize to your spouse? And so we tested people from the age of 10 until the age of 80. And the answer was yes. In all these age groups, people take in information they want to hear, like someone telling you you're more attractive than you thought, than information that they don't want to hear. And the ability to learn from good news, it remained quite stable throughout the lifespan. But the ability to learn from bad news, that changes as you age. So what we found was that kids and teenagers, they were the worst at learning from bad news. And the ability became better and better as people aged. But then, around the age of 40, around midlife, it started deteriorating again. So what this means is that the most vulnerable populations, kids and teenagers on the one hand, and the elderly on the other hand, they're the least likely to accurately learn from warnings. But what you can see here is that it doesn't matter what age you are. You can be 20, 30, 40, 50, or 60. Everyone takes in information they want to hear more than information that they don't. And so we end up with a view like this of ourselves. And our mistake as teachers, as mentors, as employers, is that instead of working with this positive image that people so effortfully maintain, we try and put a clear mirror in front of them. We tell them, you know, the image is just going to get worse and worse and worse, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work because the brain will frantically try to distort the image using Photoshop and fancy lenses until it gets the image it's happy with. But what will happen if we went along with how our brain works and not against it? Take hand washing, for example. So we all know that hand washing is the number one way to prevent the spread of disease, and this is really important in hospitals. So in a hospital here in the United States, a camera was installed to see how often medical staff do, in fact, sanitize their hands before and after entering a patient's room. Now, the medical staff, they knew a camera was installed. Nevertheless, only 1 in 10 washed their hands before and after entering a patient's room. But then an intervention was introduced. An electronic board that told the medical staff how well they were doing. Every time you washed your hands, the numbers went on and up on the screen. And it showed you your rate of your current shift and the rate of the weekly staff. And what happened? Boom. Compliance raised to 90%, which is absolutely amazing. And the research staff were amazed as well, and they made sure to replicate it in another division in the hospital. Again, the same results. So why does this intervention work so well? It works well because instead of using warnings about bad things that can happen in the future, like disease, it uses three principles that we know really drive your mind and your behavior. Let me explain. So the first one is social incentives. In the hospital study, the medical staff could see what other people are doing, right? They can see the rate of the shift, the rate of the week. We're social people. We really care what other people are doing. We want to do the same, and we want to do it better. This is an image from a study that we conducted, led by PhD student Micah Adelson. And what it's showing you, it's a signal in the emotional center of your brain when you hear about the opinion of others. And what we found was that this signal can predict how likely you are to conform at a later time, how likely you are to change your behavior. So the British government are using this principle to get people to pay taxes on time. In an old letter that they sent to people who forgot to pay taxes on time, they simply stressed how important it was to pay taxes, and that didn't help. So then they added one sentence. And that sentence said, 9 out of 10 people in Britain pay their taxes on time. And that one sentence enhanced compliance within that group by 15%, and is thought to bring into the British government £5.6 billion. So highlighting what other people are doing is a really strong incentive. The other principle is immediate rewards. So every time the staff washed their hands, they could see the numbers go up in the board, and it made them feel good. And knowing that in advance made them do something that they otherwise may not want to do. Now, this works because we value immediate rewards, rewards that we can get now, more than rewards that we can get in the future. And people tend to think it's because we don't care about the future, but that's completely wrong. I mean, we all care about our future, right? We want to be happy. We want to be healthy in the future. We want to be successful. But the future is so far away. I mean, maybe you'll behave badly now, and you'll be fine in the future. And maybe you'll be altogether dead. So the here and now you would rather have that tangible drink, that tangible T-bone, rather than something that's uncertain in the future. If you think about it, it's not altogether irrational, right? You're choosing something sure now rather than something that's unsure in the future. But what will happen if you reward people now for doing actions that are good for them in the future? So studies show that giving people immediate rewards makes them more likely to quit smoking, more likely to start exercising, and this effect lasts for at least 6 months because not smoking becomes associated with a reward and exercising becomes associated with a reward, and it becomes a habit. It becomes a lifestyle. So we can reward ourselves and others now for behaving in ways that are good for us in the future, and that's a way for us to bridge the temporal gap. And the third principle is progress monitoring. So the electronic boards focus the medical staff attention on improving their performance. This is an image from a study that we conducted that shows you brain activity suggestive of efficient coding of positive information about the future. And what we found was that the brain does a really good job at this, but it doesn't do such a good job at processing negative information about the future. So what does this mean? It means that if you're trying to get people's attention, you might want to highlight the progress, not the decline. So for example, if you take that kid with a cigarette, you might want to tell them, you know, if you stop smoking, you'll become better at sports. Highlight the progress, not the decline. Now, before I sum up, let me just share this small anecdote with you. So a few weeks ago, I got home, and I found this bill on my fridge. And I was really surprised because there's never any bills on my fridge, so I was wondering why my husband decided to put that on our fridge. And so looking at the bill, I could see that what this bill was trying to do is get me to be more efficient with my electricity use. And how was it doing it? Social incentives, immediate rewards, and progress monitoring. Let me show you. So here's the social incentives. So in gray is the energy use, the average energy use of people in my neighborhood. And in blue is my energy use. And in green is the most efficient neighbor. And my reaction to this was, my immediate reaction was, I'm a little bit better than average. Tiny bit, but still. And my husband was the same, exactly the same reaction. And I want to get to the green bar. And then I got a smiley face. That was my immediate reward. And it was telling me, you're doing good. And it made me want to put this on my fridge. And also, I have this one smiley face, I can see there's an opportunity there to get two smiley faces. So there's an opportunity for progress. And it's showing me my progress throughout the year, how my energy use changes throughout the year. And the last thing this bill gave me, it gave me a sense of control. So it gave me a sense that I was in control of my use of electricity. And that is a really important thing if you're trying to get people to change their behavior, because the brain is constantly trying to seek ways to control its environment. It's one of the principles of what the brain is actually doing. And so giving people a sense of control is a really important motivator. Okay, so what am I not saying? I'm not saying that we do not need to communicate risks. And I'm not saying that there's one solution fits all. But I am saying that if we want to motivate change, we might want to rethink how we do it. Because fear, the fear of losing your health, the fear of losing money, induces inaction, while the thrill of a gain induces action. And so to change behavior in ourselves and in others, we may want to try these positive strategies rather than threats, which really capitalize on the human tendency to seek progress. Thank you.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen, as we come to an end with our conversations, we are talking most now about how to move past, how to move past this, whatever we are doing, and then change our lifestyles, make it nice, make it the way we want. So first of all, we identify that, I don't like this one. I don't like this one, and I don't want to do this one, and I'm not going to do this one. So secondly, what we're going to do is set realistic goals. And when we set these realistic goals, we're talking about really saying, Kucha, you know what? I also know that, when we are setting goals, one of the tragedies that we do is we expect way too much, right? From ourselves as beginners. We don't accept that we are starting in grade one or grade zero, even grade zero. Eh? We are starting in grade zero. Not many of us accept that we are starting in grade zero. And we have to start according to that. Many of us bite off more than we can chew. And when we bite off more than we can chew, usually we either choke or we can't finish it. Or it is a tragedy now. It's a mess. It's a waste. So what we have to do, ladies and gentlemen, is set realistic goals. You can't tell yourself that, you know what, I'm a six-pack in 6 weeks. Hi, brah. Like, You're coming from like a whole full back. You're coming from utate booty. You're coming from masculine man. You're coming from tatensimanekwa. And then you're saying that you want a six pack in 6 weeks. Who are you, sixer? Huh? How? No, you can't be the sixth guy. You can't say that, oh no, six pack in 6 weeks because I'm so phenomenal. I know. You have to tell yourself that, okay, first of all, I'm going to weigh myself, and then I'm going to take a little bit of weight, and then I'm going to start working on my stomach, and then also I'm going to see, right, what is wrong with this stomach of mine that is so big like this. You might have that other one. The beer belly. The beer belly, it's not always beer, guys. Sometimes you guys are just sick and you don't even know that you're sick because you are the embodiment of what an African man should look like. And Kanti, it's not kalaya, guys. Sometimes it's liver, that is tripping. And you think, oh, you know, kalaya, man. Until it's just not functioning anymore. So how about you, first of all, you do a full body checkup. And then after the full body checkup, you find, exercises that work well for you and your body type. Then it's a matter of research and finding out what works best for you, what doesn't work for you, and how you can best achieve the best goals out of this thing that you're trying to do. And when you achieve that, right, then you can come to a point where you're like, okay, so this is a realistic goal. So for starters, I'm weighing 200 kgs, right? So I'm just going to start with taking off 3 kgs. Right? Because that's achievable. That's realistic. That's in arm's length, right? Now you're telling us that I want to take off 160 kg. How? Then you are 40 kg. You're 40 kg in 6 weeks. No, bro. Because you also didn't take 6 weeks to become the man that you are, the person that you are. So what makes you think that it's going to, you start with baby steps. You start with baby steps and gradually, right, you can up your dose and eventually you will get to the point where you want to get. And also remember to celebrate your milestones. Remember to celebrate that one day that you didn't eat Kentucky. That one day that you didn't choose to gulp down a whole entire beer because, yeah, I'm talking to you, sir. I'm talking to you, sir. You can't sleep because you're feeling hot, because you are ustudla a little bit. No. So basically, you set realistic goals for yourself, right? You set goals that are obtainable. You set goals that you can achieve without breaking your own heart and breaking your own body. So you set these goals. And then the next one is, start setting small goals, guys. And developing healthy habits, ladies and gentlemen. Like I said, it's finding healthy things to do. Finding healthy things to become a habit and a routine within your life. Watch some TV with your family. When last do you guys actually sit and watch TV with your families and you're sitting there with the kids and they are laughing and they are what? I know when they become teenagers, they are not your friends anymore. Mara, there are, you know, some youths, yes, that still want to kick it with you. As long as you're not dictating what is being watched, right? As long as we are all enjoying what is being watched, then I think we can also do that. That can be a habit. That we watch TV together from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock, or we listen to radio together, or we sit around the fire together. It can start becoming a thing that you guys, a habitual thing that you guys do, or that you do. And this is now developing healthy habits. Healthy habits is, no, I'm going to be eating only this, or I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to dance a little bit. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And those are that is the development of healthy habits that we are talking about. We can talk about nutrition. We can talk about engaging exercise. We can talk about prioritizing our sleep, and we can talk about hydration, and also drink your water. Drink not only your beer, but drink your water. And we can also talk about stress management. And I told you guys, if you can't handle the stress, go to the doctor. Go to the doctor so that the doctor can help you somewhere, somehow. And limit harmful habits, guys. Just, you know, something is harmful. You know, ne, that it, you can't just be drinking or richawaranga or elke dah and dah eight, especially chelemet on pike. But, so how about limit it? I'm not saying leave your things that make you happy. I'm saying that if it's bad for you, try leaving it just a little bit. Gradually you will see that change does come. So there'll be change in the morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'll see you guys tomorrow at 1 o'clock. I love you forever and a day. And for those that were calling, I hope you listened. So tomorrow we are having a test, because you guys are just calling, but you're not listening. You want to talk about other things. It is what it is. So see you guys tomorrow. And I think I graced you enough with my presence this
Want
evening.
To know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Lipura nengelo wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM konora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile kongerewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu omafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Land is the basis of everything. I mean, just we're sitting here. Everything here comes from the land, including us. Our bones are the rock of the earth, and the blood is the water. Land is not just some inconsequential thing that you can try and escape and go and do other things and run after diamonds.
Statistics are very clear that Africa is the second largest continent in the world. So you got a huge, huge land mass in Africa. And are we using that advantage? And I bring to you someone who's looked at land here in Botswana and also from an African perspective. And we're going to discuss how we can leverage our land. So welcome.